Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and part one of our study in Luke chapter 1 verses 24 through 26 titled Worse Than the First. You may send any questions, comments, or prayer requests you have to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. You can also mail those using U.S. Postal along with any check or money order contributions to support this work. Made out to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at the website, bbfohio.com, using the PayPal donation button. And now we begin with a current events update, followed by our study in Luke chapter 1, verses 24 through 26, titled, Worse Than the First. This is part 1 of 2.
In our current events update, NBC4 local news is given over to serve Satan. I just want you to be clear on that, if you're not already, that the local Channel 4 news has announced that they are in lockstep with the so-called Pride Month and Pride March. They're advertising themselves as the home for the 2021 Stonewall Columbus Pride celebration. And June, by the way, is declared in this country as Pride Month. As we discussed in Sunday school, God's patience was demonstrated by the way He puts up with things far beyond what we'd expect. And one of those was the Amalekites. And He said that He was waiting to the fourth generation because the sin of the Amalekites was not yet full. And that's my answer to people when they ask why God hasn't wiped out America already with all the murdered babies, our government purchasing body parts from those murdered babies, producing vaccines using the cell lines from murdered babies, and promoting Sodom and Gomorrah everywhere and by government and by in private industry. And I can only say that the sin of the Americans is not yet full. But we've got to be very close. And as Christians, we can only pray it happens after the rapture. But there's no guarantee that God isn't going to lift His hand off this nation before the rapture. There's no guarantee of that. He's already done it in other countries. Amen. So NBC4 is proud to partner with Stonewall's leadership to share stories of pride in our community. Pride is a sin. So it doesn't matter what they're proud of, if their pride is an abomination to God. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." If your God doesn't hate wickedness, your God is a devil. Amen. Do you understand that? Amen. The God of most Americans is a devil. Their God doesn't hate wickedness. And I got to tell you something. I love you enough to tell you the truth. We advertise that. If you don't hate wickedness and evil, there's something wrong with you. Amen. If you're right with God, sin and wickedness should make you sick. That's why so many Christians fall into sin. They're already in love with it to start with. Amen. Makes it that much easier to fall into it. NBC4 is proud to use our platforms to amplify a message of unity and tolerance. As Christians, unity with Sodom is a sin. We tolerate in the sense that we don't want people, violently injured or anything like that. But we don't have any tolerance for the acceptance of that sin. We do not accommodate that sin. We will not go along with, I'll speak for myself and then you decide whether you're going to stand there or not. I am not going to go along with this damned culture. America's culture is damned. Amen. And your nation as a nation is about to fall. And the reason isn't because of the unsaved people. It's because of the useless professing Christians in this country who are going along with it. They are accommodating it in their own homes. They are allowing it to go through their schools and even allowing their own children to be indoctrinated and not lifting up their voice against it. And the churches, as we discussed again in Sunday school, many churches are more concerned with the bottom line. They run their churches like franchises. They're more concerned with how many people and how much money than they are being faithful to God. Amen. And this church is about being faithful to God's Word. If you love God's Word, you're going to be happy here. If not, good riddance. The local church is for believers who love God's Word. And too many churches are a joke today. But speaking of tolerance, what does Jesus say to those refusing to repent and receive His gospel? What does Jesus say to those refusing to repent and receive His gospel? In Matthew 11:24, this is the words of Jesus. "But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Amen. For those who rejected Jesus when He was on earth, the same is true to those who reject Him today. It will be more tolerable for Sodom than for you. Think of that. Again, from that post on NBC4 website. "At NBC4, we live our local for you brand as we work to raise up the message of the Columbus Pride March." NBC4 is working to lift up the message that God can go to hell. That's NBC4. Their message to you is you can burn your Bible. Their message to you is that you, as a Christian who stands against that sin, you are less than scum to them. They could care less about you and what you think. That's NBC4, local, Columbus, Ohio. Yep. And anybody else who stands with them. And there'll be churches there, folks. I wouldn't recommend you watch the smutty, nasty parade that goes on, but if you see that, you'll see churches. You'll see parents abusing their children and having their children walk in those parades surrounded by the celebration of what God calls an abomination. It's child abuse. The message of the Columbus Pride March: to love what God hates and is angry about. That's the message of Columbus Pride. You know, Jesus said about people who have this attitude, "Remember Lot's wife."
Amen.
Proverbs 6:16-17, the first thing on the list: "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, or an abomination unto Him." And the first thing He says, a proud look. Pride. God hates it. NBC4, Stonewall, God hates your stupid Pride Month and parade. He hates the sin of LGBTQ. And if you reject Jesus Christ, He hates you. And He is going to cast you into a lake of fire forever. And Psalm 7:11 says, "God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day."
Amen.
We were talking about the definition for patience.
Yeah.
And it on Webster, even the 1828, included being, you're not angry. And that's not true. Patience is you're angry, but you don't act on it until you have the right to do so, or you wait for the Lord to do so, because vengeance belongeth unto me, saith the Lord.
Amen.
So we're angry, but God's the one who's going to exact judgment and justice.
Amen. Not us.
And it, as I said, if your God doesn't hate things that are wicked, He's a devil. And if your God isn't angry with the wicked every day, you worship a devil. The God of the Bible is not the God of the United States of America today.
That's right.
There's a remnant of believers in this country, but the mass majority of professing Christians don't worship the God of the Bible. They make up one in their own brain, their own head. NBC4 Local News is promoting the destruction of children in this wicked sin. And you watch most of the news networks support chemically castrating children.
Yeah.
That if a kid is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, on up to 15, 16, and says, I'm a biological male, but I think I want to be a girl. Then they put them on the pills and chemically castrate them. You know who does that to their children? Scumbags.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know who does that to their children? Devils.
Yes.
It's just so sick. Jesus said in Luke 17:2, if it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones.
Amen.
NBC4, all of you down there at that local TV station, Stonewall, and everybody involved in the Pride Month and Pride March, you'd be better off to have a millstone tied around your neck and to be cast into the depths of the Lake Erie than to be doing what you're doing. And there's coming a payday. So how should Bible believers respond? Psalm 97:10 is a good place to see what God says. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil.
Amen.
He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. And I have a question for American Christians, every single one of you. Do you really hate evil? Because if you do, you'd hate the Pride Month.
Amen.
And you'd hate the Pride Parade.
Amen.
Because it is evil. All right. Now, kind of in line with what we're talking about, I guess, segue into this. We're going to cover verses 24 to 26. Worse than the first is the name, the title, taken right from the text. Worse than the first, Luke 11, 24 through 26. And just go ahead and read all three verses with me. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in, and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. God's people say amen.
Amen.
So what happens when a person cleans up but still remains unsaved? That's what we're looking at here. When a person cleans up, that's why I tell people the Alcoholics Anonymous is so dangerous. Dave Hunt, who's passed away now, he used to say that the AA, AA, is worse than the drug or worse than the alcohol. Why? Because they go into a big group and they can name whatever God. And they say, my God, my higher power is. And they can fill in the blank with anything. And they credit that higher power. And a lot of them these days say, my higher power is myself. And then others say, my higher power is Gaia. Or my higher power is Ashtaroth. You know, they you hear it all. I've talked to people who've been in those groups. And listen, you go to AA and you clean up. You may never go back on booze. But you're adopting something else that fills you with deception. And if you go to hell, then cleaning up from dope or alcohol didn't do you eternal good. So Luke 11:24 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. So the unclean spirits will return.
Yeah.
Question is, when they come back, what will they find?
Yeah.
He's just swept the place and cleaned the place out for them. Luke 25 says, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. But it's empty. Swept and garnished, but it's empty. That's what cleaning up will do for you. I'm glad to see anybody get off dope and stop getting drunk and all that. But listen, without Christ, you're still empty. Now, if you're saved, Jesus is in you.
Amen.
If you're saved, that Spirit comes back and finds the house has a new guest. The Holy Spirit in you. The Spirit of Christ in you. That's the difference between an unsaved man and a saved man who clean up. Of course you get saved and you got drugs, alcohol, pornography, adultery, fornication, blasphemies, profanities, whatever it is. Clean up. Clean up. As a result of being saved, that's a wonderful thing. But if you're just cleaning up your act and you're not being born again, you're not receiving Jesus, you're really still in trouble.
Yeah.
You may look better. You may be more clean cut, but you're in trouble. And how sad when a Christian is not filled with Jesus.
Yeah.
It's this false idea people have. When you get saved, you're automatically just filled with Jesus. He's inside. He dwells in you. But Christians are told, be ye filled with the Spirit. Paul wouldn't tell Christians to be filled with the Spirit if you already were. So the question is, are you filled with the Spirit?
Amen.
Dwight Moody, if you don't know who he is, a great evangelist of the late 19th century, and he said, quote, Christians should live in the world, but not be filled with it.
Yeah.
A ship lives in the water, but if the water gets into the ship, she goes to the bottom. So, Christians may live in the world, but if the world gets into them, they sink.
That's right.
Amen. I know everybody in this room can think of people they know. The world got in, and they've sunk.
Titanic.
Amen. Just like the Titanic. Because if you read John's tract, or you read the histories on the Titanic, they thought it was unsinkable. So they didn't. Not only did they not take precautions and avoid the icebergs, but they didn't have enough lifeboats.
Yep. Yep.
They were so cocky and arrogant, and that's the way a lot of Christians are today. So the principle here applies to the saved and the unsaved.
Amen.
But the direct application is to those without Christ. So a heart without Jesus is a home for the devil. A heart without Jesus. If you're unsaved today, no matter how good you think you are, if you're not saved, you have not been born again, then you are a home for the devil. God will not reside inside you. He cannot unless you're regenerated, born again. And there are a lot of professing Christians out there. They think that because they were baptized as babies, and they've never been saved. And they don't understand why they're so unhappy and so, always in darkness and have no desire for the things of God and everything. But when you try to preach the gospel to them, they just turn you off.
Yep.
Happens all the time. So verse 26 says, then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Now that, I want you to let that sink in. Jesus is not a liar.
Amen.
He's not making this up.
Yep.
This is for real. That spirit goes and gets seven others more wicked than himself. And it says they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Self-improvement only makes you a better place for worse things to happen. I know some people, they just always into the self-help stuff. Always reading the self-help books and magazines and listening. I know a guy who used to listen to self-help tapes. He'd pay, it was expensive stuff to buy the CDs, and then he would sit and listen to them while he's working out and everything. You know, when Jenny and I met, she approached me the second after we'd met. She saw me in the wellness center, the place where we worked as a place to work out. And I don't know any smarter. I know you can't tell by looking now, but there was a day when I was in really good shape. And Jenny saw me over there with my headphones on. And she walked over and asked me what I was listening to. And can you imagine that, if you know Jenny, can you imagine the look on her face if I was like, oh, it's the latest self-help. You ought to read. You ought to listen to this. Listen to this. This is great. And they put it on. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. She wouldn't be sitting here today. I wouldn't be standing here today. But that's the stuff people fill their heads with instead of filling their heads with the Word of God. And folks, a lot of that stuff is based on very anti-biblical ideas. Not all of it, but some of it is. And undiscerning people just fall into that stuff headlong. We're not to just clean up. You can't be saved by cleaning up. And as a Christian, you're not just to clean up. Some people think that as a Christian, if I don't drink, smoke, or run with those who do, then you've arrived. And that's how a lot of churches make it look. But that's not all there is to it. You don't just clean up. We're to be filled.
Amen.
Filled with what? Filled with God. How do you do that? Well, first of all, being filled with God's Word. Being filled with His Spirit. Being filled with thoughts of God. Being filled with a desire to love God and please God by loving others and pleasing others as they seek to please God. It's all a big interconnected thing that if you do one, then you end up doing it all. It really is kind of all or nothing with the Lord. Now, think of how crazy this is. We teach kids in school evolution, self-love, self-esteem, instead of what God says about them. I mean, you think I'm mean? I'm not mean. I'm just trying to be Bible. I'm just trying to stand with the Bible. And you know what kids are? Kids are wicked. Kids have a sinful nature. And you don't make that kid better by telling them they're better when they're not. You're a liar. You tell them, listen, you've got a sinful nature. You tend to want to sin. So what you've got to do is be born again. But see, they've kicked that message out of schools and put yoga in. They kick that message, the gospel, out, and they bring in self-help, self-love, self-esteem. Self has become God. This is an unknown source. I'm not exactly sure where it originated, but, quote, teaching kids that they are evolved animals and then acting shocked whenever they act like animals, end quote. Kids aren't stupid. If you tell them that they just evolved naturally from a chimpanzee and they're just basically now an intelligent chimp that doesn't have as much hair. So what are they going to do? They're going to act like animals. And the sex and the violence and everything, it just becomes, they're just acting out what they've been taught they are. We reform prison inmates instead of offering them regeneration. Now, thank God for the prison ministries who do get into some prisons still. But they're closing the doors. And now with using the COVID thing, they're keeping preaching out. And they're doing everything they can to keep Jesus Christ and the gospel out of the prisons. But you better believe they're still reforming them with all their non-Christian, anti-Christian garbage. And I believe this is from Bob Jones Sr., but I'm not for sure. Educate a criminal and all you get is a smarter criminal. They're amazed whenever they take a criminal and they teach him all about the legal system, and then when he gets out, he knows how to beat the system. And you name it. Some of those guys go in there and learn all kinds of things about being a criminal. And you know that it's not like there's not a book in the library that says how to be a better criminal. But they know if they learn certain things. Some of these guys have learned things like coding so that they can come out and hack and be involved in the whole malware thing on the computers and everything. And they stand there with their diploma and the warden and everybody's so proud of them. And then they get out and they become a hacker and start stealing your identity and spending your credit card limit. That's what's going on. Missions. Missions. I used to hear people going on missions. I think, oh, that's how wonderful. Now I'm thinking, well, I wonder if they're a real mission or not. Missions, I mean inner city and missions going all over the world.